Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I am Mike Kadlec, your host, joined as always by 98.5 The Sports Hub, Alex Barth. Back to our normal ways of doing the show, as we're after the bye week now, so we're going to get back
to
it. Yes, for now. Obviously, things will get hectic over the offseason once again, but in-season schedule, if you will, back to our preview and recap schedule. So we are here to preview Patriots versus Jets coming up this Sunday. The 6-3 Jets are in town on Sunday to take on the 5-4 Patriots. A huge game. The AFC East is all but a wagon right now, basically. Every team has a playoff spot currently, so a really important one coming up on Sunday for this New England team. So we're going to do a deep dive into the offense and defense and sort of preview how this game might go. We'll get into a college football minute. Me and Barth will talk about our college football playoff scenarios that we think it should be now that we're close to the end of the season. Then we'll finish it up with some Thursday Night Football preview. But first, I want to get into some news as well as injuries surrounding the Patriots. And then we'll get into, like I said, some injuries on Jets Patriots as well. Starting off, just a quick news nugget that went down on Tuesday and then another one that came in today. So Patriots released wide receiver Lil Jordan Humphrey from their practice squad. Sort of a preseason darling, if you will, had a really good camp, ended up getting cut, came back, activated a few times on the practice squad, but they end up cutting him again. So looked like they were freeing up a spot. And then today they brought in tackle Hunter Thedford. I don't know how to pronounce it, but looks like a practice squad at Thedford. Okay. Signed him to the practice squad today, adding to their tackle depth. Go ahead.
Who was the guy they worked out yesterday? Total side note. They worked out a guy yesterday with Sage. I just wanted to say that name. Sage Dockstader. They didn't sign him. Offensive tackle to Mexico State. But Sage Dockstader? Come on, Mike.
Yeah, that's something different. That's up there with like the DeBrickashaw Fergusons and what's some other? There's a bunch of hectic NFL names. But that's definitely one of them. So, so LJ's gone for now. We'll see if they try and make some room for him later. But just thoughts on that, kind of them seemingly maybe parting ways with LJ again.
Yeah, and he had one practice squad elevation left, although he hadn't really played much in the last couple of weeks. It was just a little surprising, I guess, to see him go from having that big role he didn't come down, but if anything, it tells me they're going to open up the offense, right? He was kind of in that N'Keal Harry role, that blocking wide receiver role, and they clearly feel comfortable without that guy. It also tells me they're comfortable with Tyquan Thornton, who we'll get into a little later in the show, but they're comfortable with their wide receiver depth right now, clearly.
Yeah. So they make the move, they make the change, and then they go and pick up this looking like a undrafted tackle. Actually haven't heard of the guy's name. I don't know if you had heard of Hunter Thedford before, but looking to kind of add to the back end of that that offensive line room, depending on if they maybe use some elevations on him. I know David Andrews is back this week, but there's kind of been we'll get into this more when we talk about the offense, but there's been definitely some movement on the offensive line as far as Cole Strange getting benched a few times, Isaiah Wynn popping in for him, Yannicka Just getting a start in there. Yeah. There was some swapping at practice this week. Wynn and Trent Brown were kind of swapping sides on positions, so thoughts on just, you know, that move and kind of where they go with the offensive line from here.
I'm not putting too much into that practice swap, at least not right now. I'm not saying that it's nothing, but it was like a 2-minute window at practice where they weren't, it's not like it was high intensity reps, right? It's not like it was first team offense versus first team defense. Some guys weren't even wearing helmets. It's very much a walkthrough. They like to give guys different looks. Again, we'll see. We didn't get to see any positional drills today. We probably won't tomorrow. If we do tomorrow, I'll be interested to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
But then we'll see on Sunday. To me, it's not something maybe a switch they'd make at the beginning of the game, but if Kajus can't go right or something, do they move guys around, something like that?
Right.
Because the other thing is, it's not that Wynn and Trent swapped. Wynn moved to left tackle. Kajus was still at right tackle. Trent was out.
Oh, is that okay? Okay.
So are they going to
down there much this week? So okay.
Are they benching Trent Brown, who's been their second best offensive lineman this season? I that would be a mistake in my mind. It would be a surprising move. It would be a mistake. So I'm not putting a ton into that, but yeah, we've talked about this a ton on the show. I'm like, they don't have enough offensive line depth, not at guard, not at tackle, no center, I guess. But they needed offensive line depth, and they added it. It's not, you know, necessarily the player everybody wanted. They didn't go out and get prime Jonathan Ogden, but they needed depth, and they added depth.
Yeah, they didn't make a move at the deadline for a Trent Williams or anything. But, I mean, that's what we touched on at the deadline, right? Everyone wanted Isaiah Wynn to get traded out of here. And I know that you were sort of an advocate for it just as far as a – from, like, a locker room and, you know, team standpoint. But the depth isn't there along the line. So keeping Wynn around made sense. And then, again, bolstering the room when you can, it's important.
Right.
But let's talk about injuries. We'll read through the list, and then we can kind of tie it into the way we do offensive defense. Obviously, the Patriots were on a bye last week. So were the Jets. So both teams were able to kind of, you know, get themselves back on track, get relatively healthy again. But in saying that, something that's popping out to me on the Jets injury report is Corey Davis just not practicing again with his knee injury. But I feel like there hasn't been much surrounding it. They haven't placed him on IR, but he has not played in what feels like, I don't know, I'm not 100% sure, but he hasn't played in over a month. So he did not practice again today. Defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins didn't practice. Dwayne Brown tackle was limited with a shoulder. And then guard Nate Herbig did not practice with a shin injury. So not much, not many players rather on the Jets injury report, but the big one I think too is Dwayne Brown at tackle limited. They signed Laurent
DuVernay
doctor?
Tardif.
DuVernay Tardif.
It might be Tardif.
Yeah.
He's French Canadian.
He was a Kansas City Chief for a while. He's also a doctor, but he was a free agent. Jets brought him in for a workout this week and signed him today. I don't know how fast they can get a guy like that up to speed, but.
So, for what it's worth on that, he was with the Jets last year. He made 6 starts for the Jets at the end of last season.
Okay.
So I don't know what kind of football shape he's in. He was doing a medical residency. That's why he wasn't signed, but.
Exactly.
Like physically, I don't know where he's at. Mentally, I would think he's, if not a plug and play player, very close.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Again, it's more of like, I was thinking more physically, right? You don't know.
Yeah. And that's the question.
You don't know where he's at, but it might kind of have to happen with Dwayne Brown being limited today and them sort of, you know, just being bagged up in general, but not much on the Jets besides, you know, Corey Davis as well. We'll talk about that when we talk about the defense, but guy who hasn't played in a couple weeks, they haven't IR'd him, but. Curious just to see kind of where they go in the receiver room. Patriots, Jonathan Jones was added to the report today. He was not at practice with an illness. Limited, again, was Jake Bailey with the back. Some people thought the back was actually code word for the yips, but we'll see how that plays out on Saturday. Or Sunday, rather. They have Pilardi in there as a, you know, practice squad punter, but just gut feeling tells me Bailey's going to play, got it out. But, again, Christian Barmore limited, Kyle Duggar limited, Anthony Jennings limited. DeMarcus Mitchell was back today. He was limited with an illness, which is interesting. Maybe they just didn't want to ramp him up too fast. But Parker's back at practice limited, Josh Uche limited, and no one full participants, if you will. But that's kind of where we stand with both those injury reports. Anything pop out to you with Patriots? Obviously, Jonathan Jones, we'll see what happens throughout the weekend, but...
Yeah, I mean, you still have this illness going around. It cost Damian Harris the game last week, right? He didn't play. We've seen Shaq Jones had it. Jalen Mills had it. DeMarcus Mitchell obviously had it. It's not great. I don't know if they have to specify COVID or not anymore.
I was just going to ask that. I'm not sure either.
So I actually don't know that. They used to post, like, it used to say illness / non-COVID. And if it was COVID, it was its own thing. It was its own list. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they still have to do that or whatever. There's clearly something going around, so that's not great. We'll see if John Jones can get back. The other thing with Bailey, like, he's going to play, like you said, but another piece to the injury, or another piece to the mystery of kind of what's been up with him. And are they covering for something, right? All of a sudden now he's on the injury report coming off the bye week. I will say, if he does have a back issue, that would be a major problem. That would. And that's not an excuse, but it's an explanation. Nobody knows why he's been so bad. And the thing people, I think a lot of people don't know about punters, a lot of athletes, a lot of football players play two sports, right? And you go by the positions. Football, quarterbacks, usually baseball players because they're pitchers or shortstops, right?
Right.
A lot of wide receiver, Chris Hogan, lacrosse, because the footwork that comes with that. Defensive.
Some track guys there too on wide receivers.
Right. But a lot of offensive linemen, defensive linemen are wrestlers. Punters, not every punter, but like some really good punters, they're gymnasts.
Yes.
They're from gymnastics because flexibility is a huge part of punting. Go look at the picture when a guy punts the ball, that leg's straight up in the air, right?
Yeah.
You've ever hurt your back? Flexibility is right at the rest of your body somehow. Flexibility is just right out the door if your back hurts. So that would make a lot of sense. It's concerning that it's lingered this long, certainly, but that could be people, you know, well, what are you seeing? Why is he like this? Why is he having these issues? A back injury would make a lot of sense. It would line up with a lot of what we've seen.
BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. Always your continued source for sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts. Well, it's the whole thing with Bailey this year and his struggles, right? It's been like, oh, well, maybe it's just lingering injury from last year when everyone's like, oh, well, he's not on the report. And, you know, maybe it is just the yips and he's not still injured. So, you know, what could it be? And then over the bye week, I don't know, tweaks it. Maybe it gets worse. Maybe they're just like, okay, let's stop pushing this off and maybe try and solve this. And so then once he's getting extra treatment, not practicing as much, you kind of have to put him on the report at that point. Feels more something like that. But I would think he plays this weekend as well. But again, we'll see how it goes. Anything else on the injury front for you, Alex, before we hop in? We can touch on most of it during, you know, once
I mean, the Corey Davis thing too, I guess. I didn't really talk about that before. The reason they were able to pressure Zach Wilson so well, and we'll get into this in a bit, in that first game part of it, the coverage was great. So one less receiver you got to worry about can make a difference.
Right.
So it's not having Corey Davis again. He's been good for them this year. So not having him does feel like it would be a loss.
Yeah, over the last two seasons of Zach Wilson's career in New York, Corey Davis has been his number one guy every single game they've played. They have, for how bad Zach Wilson can be at playing quarterback, he has something with Corey Davis. They can find each other often on the field, so that would be a big loss for New York. But let's get into the offense for starters, because again, throughout the bye week, Mac Jones talked about it the other day, but saying that they were really able to do a full audit of where they stand. Of course, he means both offensively and defensively, but you know, him being the quarterback and kind of where they sit offensively. We've talked about it in the media. It's kind of been the storyline, but how are they going to adjust the offense, you know, moving into the second half of the season? There's been clips and videos from, I know Dan Orlovsky comes up, I feel like, every week on this podcast now, but he did something just on how off their timing seems to be when Mac's hitting his last step in his drop. He's double hitching. Guys still aren't looking for the ball. They're just not in sync at all. And, you know, you often allude to this. I don't tend to bring it up first, but I know, you know, just from playing quarterback before, it's hard to get timed up in just a week and a half. Like, that is something that is instilled in you from day one in training camp, you know, getting that timed up. So, I mean, I'm not sure how much work they'd really be able to do as far as that goes over 2 weeks. They're professionals, so they'll be able to get it done. But just curious on the adjustments to make this week. Were you going to say something? Were you going to add something there?
I was going to say, don't be afraid to use that experience. You have it. Use it.
No,
like,
I know.
You know what I'm saying? You kind of made it sound like I bring it up like you don't want me to bring it up. No, you
No. I'm glad to bring it up.
Valuable asset for this show.
No, for sure. But I just, again, I thought of it seeing those videos this week. It's like, okay, when you step up and hitch, and it's a science to, you know, these guys are at 7 yards and that's why you're taking a three-step drop, or these guys are at 12 versus 11. Like, it's incremental how much of a difference it can make in an offense. So curious to see just how they can maybe try and sync themselves up this week. But, you know, the week 9 game against the Jets, it was ugly. They only had the one offensive touchdown to open up the half again. It felt like they were back in, you know, a few weeks ago, they were, the offense was really, they were smooth on, you know, drives to open the half and the game. But besides that, it wasn't great. Their only offensive touchdown was on the opening drive of the second half. They were able to get themselves in range for Folk's 5 field goals, but again, they struggled. So I don't know. What do you expect from this offense on Sunday?
What I'm expecting and what I want to see might be two different things, right?
Sure.
I'm expecting more quick passing concepts, because that's a big way to fix the timing, right? It's not perfect, but
right,
it's a lot easier to time out a play. And by the time, I mean snap to throw, right?
Right.
It's a lot easier to time out a play that's going to last 2 seconds versus a play that's going to last 5 seconds, right?
Right.
Less time to mess it up.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Especially with pressure, and, you know, like, obviously there's pressure. There's, you know, coverage, etc. So go ahead.
Yeah. So the bigger thing for me, though, and I agree with what you said about the timing. That Dan Orlovsky video is great. Everybody should watch it.
Yeah.
They've got to, even if they fix the timing, if they're still doing this vertical stuff, right? I'm not convinced they have enough time to block it, even if it's executed correctly by everybody else. So I want to see them do some things. We've talked about this ad nauseum. They're probably not fixing the offensive line to the extent it needs to be fixed until the offseason. They can make little tweaks here and there. David Andrews coming back is certainly going to be a big help. But
that's what I'm curious to see, is Andrews, because that really can change everything, because that made them struggle the last couple of weeks.
But they need to do some other things, especially to tackle those edge rushers, to slow those guys down. And that's play action. It's RPOs. Yep. It's pre-snap motion. It's end arounds, things like that.
Use guys like Tyquan Thornton. Yeah.
Dude, because when you know the other team's just throwing the ball deep, right? When you know the other team is going into that 5-7 step drop, if you're a pass rusher, you're just going to say, well, I'm just going to put my head down and go, right? Full go at the quarterback. And that's the approach most pass rushers take to start a game, aside from, you know, what they see on film. But what you want to do is, you know, okay, so that guy's going to fire up field. Boom, run a draw behind him, right? Where he gets up field, he vacates that space, you run the ball behind him. Man in motion, pre-snap, you hand that ball off, suddenly you get those eyes going across, right? Yep. RPO is kind of similar, where you're making them with their eyes, you're making them look in more than one spot.
Exactly.
Just do things that give those pass rushers more to think about so they can't pin their ears back and go. That's pretty much that's the big thing I want to see them do. And I think if they do that, a lot of the other stuff will come together. I don't know that it turns them into a 40-point-per-game offense, but this defense is unfreaking believable. They probably haven't gotten enough credit just because of there's so much focus on everything that's going on the offensive side of the ball, and maybe rightfully so. But the offense just has to be good enough. Like, that's what's so frustrating about this.
Yeah.
The offense doesn't need to be great. They just need to be good enough, because the defense, it feels like, is the real deal. But the offense can't be good enough right now. And I think if they go to a more quick, you know, quick concept, quick tempo, power run, get rid of the zone run, power run offense, they essentially what they were last year. I think you can expand it a little bit more, but essentially what they were last year, I think that's how the offense ends up being good enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, just like going off that, they just have to be good enough, right? But like you said, this Jets defense, they're not getting enough credit for what they've done this year. I mean, they've only let up 19 points a game. The Patriots were just good enough the last time, but it's like that they played better. You know, when we kind of took a look back at it, it's almost like they were better than we thought they were during the game, if that makes sense. I mean, they have guys, the players at each level, like you always talk about. And, you know, I'm kind of taking that into my own assessment when I do these types of things. But like, they have, you know, two guys on the front, John Franklin Myers and Quinnen Williams is a stud, CJ Mosley in the middle, Sauce Gardner in the back end. Like, they have guys you have to worry about at every single level of this defense. And as bad as they were the first meeting, the one touchdown to Myers at the goal line and then the five field goals, if they can do that again and just finish another one of those drives, then they're going to be in good shape because this defense is going to be able to carry them. So the defense is legit. They're like 10th in points per game, but they feel they're studs, but they still feel beatable to me because you saw it 2 weeks ago. And I feel like there's just so much room to build off of what they did when they played them in week 9.
Yeah, they're sorry. I'm honestly in the background. It looks like Twitter's about to just like end. So I'm trying to make sure
we have even more. Is there even more Twitter news?
At Real Alex Barth on Instagram. Apparently, they just locked the building and told everybody they're not allowed back in the building anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. What was you gonna have?
No, you're good. No, this is good. This is, you know, I just said that the way that they played the last game, it was like the way they played the Jets last game, they played them better than we expected them to, I thought. And they were able to get in field goal range and they only scored the one touchdown. But it feels like this Jets team is like even they're beatable and they can get there if they just finish the drives. And they played better than they played better than we thought they were going to.
Yeah. Okay.
And
yeah.
And it was still considered a bad game. So like, I don't know. I feel like they had a bit of a recipe there, even though this team is really good.
And it's kind of the story the whole season. When Mac wasn't pressured, they were fine. And that's been the case all year. Mac's completion percentage, clean pocket, is 77%. It drops down to 44% when he's pressured. So
right.
The stalls where Mac was getting pressured, if they can get it blocked up front, I actually think the offense can, again, be good enough, maybe a little bit better than that. It's a big if with the way this team has looked. So that's where getting David Andrews back, like you said, and we'll talk about the Patriots on the defensive side of the ball. I think this entire game comes down to the pass rush and the pass protection on both sides.
Yeah.
David Andrews coming back could be a major flip for the Patriots in this game because the Jets are going to be who they were, especially if Corey Davis doesn't play. It's basically the same group. They're missing starters on the offensive line, but those guys are out for the year. Elijah Vera Tucker, Mekhi Becton, right? Patriots get a guy back they didn't have last time, and that can make a big difference, especially when you consider the impact the pass rush had on the Jets pass rush had on the Patriots offense. And it's important to remember, again, we talked about this last time they played. The Jets really only rush 4. That's all they do. They got second lowest blitz rate in the league, but the fifth highest pressure rate. They've got an absolute beast of a defensive line, Quinnen Williams, John Franklin Myers, right?
Yep.
The Patriots, they should be able to block 4 with 5. The Patriots should be able to block 4 with 5. If they can do that, if David Andrews coming back allows them to do that, they're going to have chances to move the football.
So here's my question on the offense to you, because I have an answer, but I want to see sort of you think. Because every single week we come on this show and we talk about how they need to adjust this. They need to be better. Why aren't they calling the offense this way? Just do it. It makes so much sense. Call it like you did with Zappy. Call these. Call that. And they haven't done it when they were just, you know, bang, 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 week after week playing games. Over the bye week, do you trust that Bill Belichick truly, you know, went in there with his offensive staff and was able to tighten things up on the bye week so much so that we might see a legitimate change of pace here coming into the Jets week on Sunday? My answer is yes. I trust Bill in that spot. I think it's when he does his full audit, if you will, this is something he's like, okay, we really need to fix this if we want to, you know, compete for the playoffs and, continue down this stretch. But I don't know. What do you think?
I would hope so. To me, it's a matter of like, I think Bill can fix it. If Bill goes in and gets under the hood and tinkers around, he'll fix it. My question is, because we've said this since camp, I've been saying this since training camp.
Right.
Does he look at it and say, it's Matty P's offense, it's Matt Patricia's offense, it's Matt's job, like, either it's Matt's job to handle it, it's Matt's job to dig himself out of this hole, or I trust Matt to get out of this. Because we said this in camp, right? When the offense wasn't working. Well, how Bill knows it's not working. How long can he really let Matt Patricia continue to run things? Well, here we are. It's November 17th. and Matt Patricia is still running things. So
right.
I trust Bill to be able to, I trust that Bill knows how to fix it if he takes the agency to fix it. I just don't know if he's going to take the agency to fix it, because I feel like if he was going to do that, I shouldn't say, all right, let me take that
already. It would have already happened by now.
On one hand, I feel that way, that if he was going to fix it, he would have done it already. On the other hand, the bye week is kind of a time it would make sense to do that. They do have a relatively later bye this year. So
right.
If I guess if not now, never is right. pretty much where I'm at with it. If not now, then it's the off season, hopefully. And if Matt Patricia is back next year, then it's just not happening. I don't think it'll get that far, but I also didn't think it would get this far. So,
well, even in that, so right, you know, when the struggles continue to happen with the Zappy versus Mac thing, right? It's well, okay, you know, we have the Bears, we have the Jets, we have the Colts, we have a bye. Let's get through this the way things are happening, and then we take a look at it. I can see that having had happened, and then this is the time and the place to do it. But I mean, like you said, if they don't, I don't know. I don't know where they go from here. The one last piece just on offense is Ramondre and the running backs. I want to just bring up a thing we talk about on this show all the time, but you know, they need to, Ramondre is their one, and they're going to feed him and get him his touches. But you know, with Harris back, both from the hamstring and now back from the illness, getting himself healthy, he had a whole week to do so. They really need to spell those backs more at like a 60-40 pace, even closer to maybe 50-50. You've talked me off this ledge at the beginning of the year when I was just swooned over Ramondre, and I was like, he's their guy and give him the rock. But now that they're in the playoff, they're really integrated into this playoff hunt. They need to make sure Ramondre stays healthy throughout the stretch run. And I expect and I hope that, you know, they split up these carries and split up these touches from the backs this week, more so than they did at the end right before the bye week.
And it doesn't just have to be the backs. Like, yes, I'm with you 100%.
Right.
But these issues can solve each other. End arounds to Kendrick Bourne, end arounds to Tyquan Thornton, screen passes, RPOs, like it all interconnects, it all intertwines, right? So yes, I want to see Ramondre Stevenson's usage rate go down. This is honestly a game though. Remember like back when we were talking about this during the Lions game and the Browns game, and I said, don't you want him to be available for that game late in the year when you really need him? This is kind of that game. This, if they were going to run him a ton, big divisional game, another wild card team as well. Like, this is the game where I want to see him.
But there's also still two Bills games coming up where you want him to be healthy in that spot as well.
I would say this is probably their third. No, Dolphins game is probably bigger because they at least have one win over the Jets already. But
yeah, that's fair.
Like, this is kind of the game I had in mind where I was like, you might want to save him for that one. So, but yes, I'm still with you on that 100% on the offense and in getting the other backs more involved. And I think people forget Damon Harris is still a very good back. There seems to be this one or the other mentality when it comes to the Patriots backfield. Not only is that not necessary, I think it's the incorrect approach. So let Damian Harris get involved on early downs. Let Ramondre be the third down back. Honestly, I'd like to see them, like, big picture, I'd like to see them go back to what they did at the beginning of the season, which was alternating drives and then just Stevenson on third downs, right?
Right.
That's how I'd like to see them approach it. I think that's probably the best setup they have.
Yeah, well, like you said, too, like, you know, forgetting about where we were just 7 weeks ago. I mean, Damian Harris was the starting running back on this team up until basically his injury. Ramondre ends up getting reps, and then he just kind of took over the role from there, as he should. But like you mentioned, just don't forget that Damian Harris is a good back too. I'm with you. I kind of fell for it a little bit there, just in the Ramondre haze, because I mean, he's a stud. But I like what you said too, just about incorporating and, you know, getting running plays out of not your running backs. I mean, an RPO, if you throw the bubble screen quick, that's essentially just a run. Get the ball in space to someone's hand and just go. But yeah, that's where I see this offense going this week. Before we get into the defense, let's just talk about our friends at LinkedIn, because these
days,
a lot
of people looking for jobs right now.
Yes, a lot of people. Twitter jobs. it's crazy. I just saw your tweet too. Follow Alex on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram, because this thing might go down, and Twitter is the town square, so it might have to be Instagram now. But anyway,
I'm just getting one of these Mastodon things, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
Whatever that
you're doing that right now.
Doing it right
pretty much. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. We use LinkedIn Jobs here at CLNS Media, and we can't recommend it enough. It's super easy to post your job. Then just add your listing and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. As we inch closer to December, now's the perfect time to add the right team member and end 2022 strong. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/beat. That's linkedin.com/beat to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm sorry, hang on. Is Twitter actually going to go down right now?
Why is it getting that serious?
That would just be wild if it happened while we were on the air. Like,
I see everyone tweeting their Instagram handles, but I don't think it's going to happen that fast.
But here's the thing. Like, I thought it was people like just like freaking out for the sake of freaking out, but like very level-headed people are like, yeah, hey guys, this might be it for Twitter. You know that meme that's like, I wish I wasn't living through a historically significant event right now?
Yeah.
Anyway, real Alex Barth on Instagram and on Mastodon now, apparently.
Oh God. So, whatever. What is Mastodon? Is this just
I don't know, but I saw everybody signing up for it. So if that's the next thing, that's the next
thing. Some sort of open source Twitter. I don't know. Well, again, yeah. I guess if we're switching socials, follow me on Instagram as well. I post my content there anyway. So you can check me at Barth out there. But let's we'll both keep an eye on Twitter as we go through the defense here. Pat's defense was obviously dominant all beginning of the first half of the year. I was fully on display, not only in week 9, but throughout the first 9 games. They allowed only 18.4 points per game in the first half of the season. The bye week was sort of a turning point in a bad way for this team last season. Do you think that they learned from that, Alex? And does Matthew Judon continue to play the way he's playing, or does he fall off the face of the earth like he did last season?
So it seemed like to this point, they've done everything they needed to do. And we've talked about that. On one of my shows, I talked about it. It's too many. I can't remember anymore.
5 days a week, Bart's on the air.
Six. Now that I'm doing the post game on here.
Yeah, true that. We're rolling.
I think they did everything they needed to do to this point. Matthew Judon's usage rate is down 10%. Some other key defensive players, you know, because of an injury, but like Christian Barmore's rested up. He hasn't played in a couple weeks here. Things like that. Ramondre is really the one guy I feel like they've overused. Besides that, I feel like everybody's in a good spot. Now it's just that mental element of it that we don't know exactly what happened last year. And maybe they were all just gassed. It felt like a little more than that. You know, they had that long winning streak coming in. Now it's just how do they handle it? And it's not something we can sit here and say, I think they'll handle it better. I think they'll handle it worse. Like, we're not in the room. We don't know. So it's a very good question. It's a very good question. I think they have done a lot to make things easier for themselves coming out of the bye. The question is, will they take advantage of the situation they've set themselves up with?
Yeah, I mean, I also just look at it in terms of comparing it. I mean, this is the first time we've been able to do this for a division game. So just comparing it to what we saw last time, I know we think Zach Wilson stinks, and I'm with you on that. But I also don't think we're going to see the same Zach Wilson we saw last time. Jonathan Jones said it this week, but it sort of seems like, you know, Mike LaFleur. Yeah, Mike LaFleur. Sort of found a recipe for how to call this offense since the disaster that was the Patriots game, because they went and beat the Bills. I pulled the numbers just as far as how they compared calling the offense versus the Patriots compared to versus the Bills just a week later. They only had 15 rush attempts against the Pats compared to 34 against the Bills. And they threw it 41 times against the Pats compared to 25 times against the Bills. They took the ball out of Wilson's hands more. They gave it to their backs. That's obviously because they also got James Robinson back into the mix a little bit because they had traded for him just the week before. He probably couldn't grab as many reps as, you know, he wanted to that fast, but they were able to get him into the fold. But it's not like they had to throw more and run less against the Pats because they were down the whole game. Like, that was a close game just like the Bills game was. And they stuck to their bread and butter in the Bills game rather than, you know, jumping ship on the run game against the Patriots. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how they call this offense. I think the Patriots, I mean, the Bills defense is one of the best in the league. The Patriots are up there with them. I just don't think Wilson's going to be as bad as last time.
I think that's up to them. Again, we talked about this before with Mac with the pressure, right? You know what Zach Wilson's passer rating is when pressured this year? Passer rating out of 158.3.
Single digits.
Yeah, 6.6.
Is it? Holy moly.
Yeah. And they pressured him a ton in that last meeting. 37% of his dropbacks. It's the highest rate he's been pressured this year. And look, they only had two sacks. They only even hit him twice. But
right.
The thing about Zach Wilson is he won't throw the ball away. So if you kind of hem him in, right, and I thought they had a great rush. They had a great rush plan. Remember, it was the week after the Bears game where they were all over the place. They came in disciplined. It was like dogs herding sheep. They corralled him against the sideline. They corralled him into the boundary and basically said either throw it or we're going to push you out of bounds. He refused to throw it away. So he started making really risky throws. You know, wouldn't you have it 3 interceptions? So
right.
I think they can duplicate that because it's the same pass rush. Actually, it's not the same pass rush. They're going to have Barmore back.
Right.
Same offensive line for the Jets. If they make any change, it's a guy who hasn't played an NFL game in a year, about a year. Right. So I think they can pressure Zach Wilson and force him to make mistakes, assuming the Jets do the same thing. Now, here's the two questions. Can the Patriots cover it on the back end? Because you still need to cover it and not give him any quick options. And that's where the Jonathan Jones injury comes in and potentially Corey Davis coming back. The other element of it is how do the Jets adjust? And this is where if the Jets are going to win this game, they need to make major offensive adjustments. And some of it's what I said with the Patriots, quick throws. They ran some RPOs and some read options in that first meeting that they did very well with. They went away from it probably earlier than they should have.
Yeah.
If I'm the Jets, I'm calling RPO after RPO after RPO, and I'm building in a read option package into that RPO to give Zach Wilson the opportunity to keep the football. If they're going to try to drop back and throw it and just run the offense they've been running, which is more vertical, I think the Patriots tee off on Zach Wilson again. I really do. It's kind of the same thing both ways. Like, I feel like the game plan for both teams is the same and the issues are the same. But again, if it is really the same and the Patriots won last time and now they have David Andrews and Christian Barmore back.
Right.
Feels like that's trending in the right direction, right?
Yeah. I mean, they'll also probably have Duggar back who they didn't have last time. Tyler Conklin.
Duggar's another, that's another good one. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Conklin. I mean, we talk about how I hate tight ends on this show, but they always seem to come back and haunt me. Who was it? Mo Alie-Cox against the Colts. I don't think they didn't do anything. So
I mean, they didn't throw the ball. They didn't.
But no, tight ends have owned me. But again, I think with Duggar back, I mean, Conklin had 6 catches for like 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. They're going to be able to cover the tight ends better here. But yeah, like you said, it's with the offense and the defense. 2 weeks later, the Patriots are getting David Andrews back along their line to hopefully bolster that. And then on the defense, like you said, they're getting Barmer back up front. They're getting Duggar back on the backside. So that's going to be huge. I think that they're also not, like you said, they're not getting Corey Davis back. So they're going to be able to cover this team and they're going to be able to get pressure. I really feel like Zach Wilson, he seems, your guy on the Sports Hub, Tony Mass, just calls him out. He's so stupid. He's dumb. He's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
But, I mean, how do you get to this point and not learn from your mistakes and not throw the football away? He seemed to do it a little bit against Buffalo. It is a good question. I think he's going to throw the football away. He's not going to hand the ball over as much as he did. So it's going to be a little bit tougher for them than it was the last time. But I still think they ultimately, you know, they have success against this team.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll run the rock with Carter and Robinson as much as they can. Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson. Yeah.
I asked Matthew Judon about James Robinson today. And I asked him when they got him last time, they had just gotten him off the trade. Like he hadn't played in their offense. It's been 2 games. What have you seen? And he seemed to indicate like it's way too early to make any distinction off of that. So I think that's part of what hurt them last time too. They were really down to one back.
Right.
It doesn't sound like Robinson. Right. It doesn't sound like Robinson's that involved, even, you know, this is coming off the bye, so he may be more involved now, but through those first 2 games, it didn't sound like they had him doing much.
No, I'm looking at it now. I have the 2 box scores open. So the first, I mean, Like I mentioned it earlier, just as far as they did not run the ball at all against the Patriots. They ran it 15 times compared to 41 pass attempts. Against the Bills, they ran the ball 34 times compared to just 25 pass attempts. They split carries 7 and 5 in the first game against the Pats, but again, they didn't do anything. The last time they played, it was 13 carries and 12 carries, Robinson to Carter. So, granted, Michael Carter averaged 6.5 yards a carry, and James Robinson averaged 3.7. But I still feel like, I mean, it might be tough for the defense to cue in on these guys because they haven't seen him. But I feel like over the bye week, they're going to try and get Robinson going because, I mean, I don't know. I think he's a better back than Michael Carter, don't you?
Assuming that he knows the offense and is on board. Like, you got to remember, Carter's been in this system. Robinson hasn't. Yeah. I don't know that they're far enough apart where that doesn't matter. Whereas it's like Carter McCaffrey also, going in San Francisco week one, go for it. You're naturally talented enough.
Right.
I don't know that the gap's that much, but yeah, assuming they're, if they really got Robinson, that might be the scariest possibility for the Patriots is they really got Robinson caught up during the bye week because the Bears weren't coming off the bye when the Patriots played them, but they were coming off the mini bye, right? Coming off the Thursday night game. We have those couple extra days and they completely changed their offense. And we thought it was this weird anomaly that the Bears torched the Patriots. No, it turns out that they changed their offense and it worked. And it's continued to work here since that game. That's the thing that could really kill the Patriots is if they use this bye to tweak the offense around James Robinson and get him involved. That will definitely be interesting to watch.
Well, it's weird too. Like, I mean, I said that I think James Robinson's better than Michael Carter, which I think he is, but Michael Carter's, this is his second year in the league. I think he was a second round pick last year. He's been fine every game and every really time he's been able to touch the rock for the Jets, but it seems like they're just trying to replace him every chance they get because he was good his rookie year. They drafted Breece Hall, who admittedly is better than Carter, but they were sort of just like, yeah, we want to get Carter out of here and we want to have him be our second sort of spell back. Breece Hall tears his ACL, and I was like, oh, Michael Carter's going to get his chance again, and then they immediately trade for James Robinson, so... Again, it just feels like a team that wants to pound the rock as much as they can and not have it be on one guy.
Yeah, no, I kind of view it as almost that thing I've been talking about where they want to make sure they have that second guy.
Yeah.
Right? You know, get that duo. Maybe that they don't want him to be the number one, but I don't think that they're pushing him out the door or anything. I wouldn't go that far. I think they want that back by committee set up.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because that, like, LaFleur comes from that Shanahan tree. They love having multiple running backs.
Yeah, that's true. I think they just want that second guy. AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones as well. So, yeah. No, that's a good point, too. Because, again, if it wasn't James Robinson, their second guy would be Ty Johnson. So, I mean, you don't want that. So, again, I mean, I think they paid a little too much. I mean, we don't have to get into all the nitty-gritty on that stuff. But,
well, I mean, when you're the Jets and you haven't been good in decades and suddenly you got a spark, you're gonna spend a little bit. You're going to invest a little bit.
Yeah, I guess you're right there, too. But, so yeah, that's that on the defense. I think they'll be able to contain Wilson a little bit, but I don't think he's going to make as many mistakes as he did last time. I'm curious to see how Judon goes after the bye again. Sounds like by all accounts he stayed in shape, like we talked about. But you got anything else on the defense? I think too the John Jones thing would be massive if he misses the game, but I do think he'll probably play.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like.
The illness has been weird.
Out. Yeah.
But Jack Jones was fine, so.
That's right. He was. He came up on a Friday, right? He was fine. We're also assuming it's the same illness. It might not be.
Right.
We don't know, but.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to see, but.
Yeah, it's, to me, it comes down to that defensive front. Like, they've just got to play the way they did last time and discipline, pass rush, keep those athletic guys on the field. Daniel Aquale, Josh Uche, Barmore being back. This is a great matchup when it comes to him. Turn this into a battle of the Alabama defensive tackles. Turn it into Christian Barmore versus Quinnen Williams, who can cause more havoc. And I think Williams is a better player, but if David Andrews is back, Patriots got pressure up the middle last time a ton. So,
yeah. You got any predictions? You got a pick? You're not a huge prediction pick guy, but what do you think just game overall? You can read my full prediction on clnsmedia.com. I think it's going to go basically the same way it did last time. I think that they're going to have a nitty-gritty first half back and forth. And then I think the game will probably just end up being too much for the Jets in the end in Foxborough. Maybe another Patriots home field advantage again. And the Pats just sort of pull it out the end. Totals 38. I think it might go a little bit under that. I don't see both these defenses are good and the offenses aren't great. So I feel like it's going to be ugly again, but the Patriots can pull it out. What do you think?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. I think it's going to be similar. I think the Jets probably have a little bit of a leg up just having seen what the Patriots are doing. But I think the David Andrews return is massive. I do. And I think that ends up being the difference. I think it's the Patriots in a low scoring game. Yeah. Ashley says 17-13, somewhere around there. You know, if Zach Wilson starts turning the ball over, maybe that gets pumped up a little bit, some short fields. But
right.
About that.
Yeah, I like
it. Nobody on the replay is going to be able to see this. So there you go. Sure. That seems like about that kind of game.
Yes, 17-13. Thank you, Ashley. All right, well, that's what we got for Pat's Jets. Before we go, let's do our favorite segment, I'd say, because it gets us out of our element a bit. College Football Minute, because things are getting dicey now that we're getting towards the end of the college football season. I don't have the top 25 in front of me, but teams like TCU, LSU is getting back in the mix now. Alabama's falling off. Where do you see the rest of this college football season going, and what do you think is going to be the college football playoff? Because I know you had Texas in it last time. You did have USC, too. They're staying.
Preseason.
I'm sorry. I don't think we've reset our top four yet, have we?
I think we did one show right after the rankings came out, but we definitely haven't reset since Tennessee, Georgia. So,
all right, so let's hear it. What do you got? What's your top four?
So I think, and so I got to explain some games that I think happen here. I think Georgia wins out. I think they beat LSU in the SEC championship. I think Ohio State beats Michigan in that game. I think TCU wins out. I really do. I think USC wins out, and I think Tennessee wins out. So that being said,
that's where I'm at as well. So go ahead.
So I have Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee gets in not having to play in the SEC championship, and then TCU. And I think Tennessee ends up jumping TCU in that final ranking. TCU stays at four. Tennessee essentially replaces Michigan.
Yeah.
You get Ohio State, Tennessee, which would be an unbelievable game. Yeah, and then Georgia, TCU. That being said, if LSU knocks off Georgia in the SEC championship, which I think they can. I'm not saying they will, but I think there's really Georgia's in. Georgia, right. Unless they lose to Georgia Tech, right? But assuming they win, their last two regular season games are jokes. They won't be the one, but they'll get in. So if they kind of sleepwalk into that SEC championship and LSU beats them, which again, I think they can do, because I don't think LSU respects Georgia. And I mean that in, they're not afraid of them. It's not the defending champs. It's just some other team.
LSU's not afraid of anyone. Brian Kelly has LSU, that team just roll.
And I never thought I'd say that about a Brian Kelly team, but LSU will go punch for punch. If LSU wins, there are going to be three SEC teams in the college football playoff, because Ohio State will be one, followed by, in some order, Georgia, LSU, Tennessee. They will bump undefeated TCU to put...
For Tennessee, you think?
For Tennessee. Because Tennessee's the story this year. Tennessee's the feel-good story, a good team. And I'll tell you this, all the people who are proponents who want the 12-team playoff because it's too much SEC with the 4-team, you should actually be rooting for a 3-team SEC playoff this year, because what did they say, right? By 2026, but as soon as 2024 for the 12-team, if there's three SEC teams in the playoffs this year, they will expedite the hell out of that. And we'll get the 12-team playoff next year. So that's and look, maybe things get weird. I do think the sleeper is USC. If, TCU drops a game and Michigan gets blown out by Ohio State, and maybe Tennessee is a hiccup here down the road, undefeated USC, they're probably the only team from the Pac-12 that can make it. I think Utah's too far out. Right.
One loss.
The only one-loss team. They need a couple things to roll their way, but they're the other team that I think still factors in. But yeah, I think it's down to really six teams at this point. I guess it's seven, but unless Ohio State, Michigan goes to like seven overtimes and it's clear those teams are even, I don't see how they both get in.
Well, I think I'm sort of looking at it now. So they're going to play in the Big Ten, right? If Michigan wins, Michigan gets in, and I could see them keeping Ohio State in at the back end.
I just don't think Michigan's going to win that game.
Where if Ohio State wins, I think Michigan just falls out of it. The Tennessee thing's interesting to me because LSU wins. Say LSU, like you said, wins the SEC.
Then you have Tennessee there too. Do they really put four SEC teams in? Because if you say that Tennessee's the darling team, right, and that's the storyline, but if LSU wins the SEC championship and gets themselves in, LSU turns into the storyline of the season. It happens fast. It happens really fast. LSU from two seasons ago with Joe Burrow, they were like, oh, they're good. And then finally at the around this time at the end of the season, they just turned it on.
No, it was when they knocked off Bama.
When was that in the year, though?
October, I think. Late October, maybe early November.
I was thinking it was closer to the end of the year. Okay.
Hendon Hooker, I still think, is going to win the Heisman.
Really?
And yeah.
Okay.
Who else? Who else is winning at this point?
It's going to be Stroud. CJ Stroud.
He did nothing against Northwestern.
I know, but they're going to give it to him. I think they went out and get undefeated, and I think it's
SEC bias. I think it goes to Hooker, and then that gets him in the playoff. We'll find out. This is why you play the games. And look, I'm talking about this like this neat package thing. Like we both are. We're talking about this like this neat package thing that all the results are supposed to happen are going to happen. We're talking about LSU over Georgia is like the biggest possible upset on the board.
Yeah.
It's college football. We've still got rivalry Saturday. We've still got championship Saturday. There's a lot of dominoes left to fall. I'll tell you this. It's Illinois, right? Did they clinch yet the Big Ten championship?
I believe so. Who's the other team? They're not.
It hasn't been clinched yet. It hasn't been clinched yet.
So, yeah.
We saw Ohio State's not that far ahead of some of these teams. Michigan's not that far ahead of some of these teams in the Big Ten.
Know.
It's going to be Illinois. All right. Well, if it's Iowa, then that's not happening.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. The Big Ten West is weird. There can be like a 6-way tie for first place. There's four teams at 4-3.
Yeah. It's going to be.
It's going to be a sprint to the finish.
Yeah, it is. Who's your pick to win it all? Tennessee. It's going to be Tennessee.
Pick Georgia. It's so boring. And so over them. It's going to be Georgia. Those two tight ends, man, Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers, yeah. Those guys, nasty.
Yeah, they make it so
the real deal.
They make it so easy for, why can I not think of his name? Stetson Bennett. They make Stetson it so Bennett. Easy for him. He is the Jimmy Garoppolo of college football.
He just rides the wave. Like, I think LSU can beat Georgia. I think Tennessee can beat Georgia. I'm not super high on Ohio State this year, but that Georgia team's so talented. Alabama can, but they're not going to get in.
My sleeper natty team to win it all is LSU. Jaden Daniels. I love it. Brian Kelly has that team. Like you said, there's no fear in that team.
Here's the problem, though.
They lost the Florida State opener, and then they've basically just been like, again, that was a game where it was like, all right, we need to be balls to the wall all the time, and they have been.
Here's the problem with that. So two things. First of all, Keyshawn Boutte is totally inconsistent, and they need him to be on to win.
He also will not play at the end of the season because I bet you he'll sit out because of draft status.
If they're in a college football playoff, he'll play. You can't. He'll play.
I guess, but all right, go ahead.
He might sit out a regular bowl game. I don't disagree with you there. The other thing is for LSU to win the Natty, you're basically, you have them beating Georgia twice. You understand that, right?
Yeah, because they'd
twice
have to get them
less
at
than
the,
a month.
Because they'd be the four.
The only way they're getting in, right, is to beat Georgia in the SEC championship. I guess unless you're really down on Georgia or really high on Georgia Tech or something, you have LSU. Look, it's a bold pick. I don't hate it. But knocking off Georgia twice in a month,
because they'd either play them in the semis or end up in the Natty together. So, yeah, it would be twice.
Right.
I mean, again, maybe if they have their number the first time, why not do it again? Yeah, we'll see. Again, it's a sleeper. It's a sleeper. Realistically, it's probably going to be Georgia because, again, Stetson Bennett just rides that wave and that team's dominant. But that's our thoughts on college football moving forward. We'll do plenty more of that as we get into bowl season and the playoff. But let's quickly just touch on Thursday Night Football as well because we'd like to do that here. Like to do that here on the show, give some picks. Tennessee is at Green Bay. I'm also finally figuring out, Alex, that I'm finding where the games are actually held this time. around because I was never doing it at the beginning when I started on this show. And now we know that the game is at Lambeau tonight. The 3-6 Packers are taking on the 6-3 Titans. Ryan Tannehill's back. Packers are 3-point favorites. Packers' backs are against the wall, just like they were last week. And Rodgers and that team pulled it out against Dallas. I love the Packers in this spot again. I think they're just going to keep kind of riding that high that they had from last week. And they were finally able to score points last week against a Dallas team that's pretty good. And I think they probably do it again against Tennessee this week. Tannehill's back for the first time in a few weeks. I don't know how, I mean, the offense didn't run very well with Malik Willis in there either, but they were able to win games. It's, you know, switching quarterbacks back and forth. I know Tannehill's better, but might be tough for them to get a mojo. They'll probably just run Derrick Henry into the ground, but I like the Packers -3.
Yeah, it felt like the Packers had, or Aaron Rodgers specifically had some of that I'm not going out this way mentality last week. Like, he's not ready to leave. And I like the Titans. I've always been high on the Titans. I'm a big Derrick Henry guy, but Thursday night, home team, Rodgers got that chip on his shoulder late in the season. I don't know what the weather's there. I can't imagine it's great given everything that's going on right now. It's 25 and snowing.
Yeah.
You'd think Tennessee would be a good inclement weather team because they're, you know, power bully run team.
Right.
They're like not great in inclement conditions, which is kind of weird. And the Packers, who are high flying offense, are very good, probably because they're used to it. So I've been wrong, I think, every week, like, start fading me, but I'm going with the Packers.
Yeah. All right. So we're on the.
There's one more thing we should touch on.
Let's hear it.
Thoughts on the Bills game being moved?
Awful. Awful.
Play football. Play it's in the snow. It's great. It's awesome. These coward fans, all the advantage of Buffalo, and nobody wants to come to Buffalo and the wind off the lake, and we're jumping through tables. They want an indoor stadium. And they want an indoor stadium. Please. Matt Chatham had a great, let me go find this. Matt Chatham, assuming Twitter is still up.
It is still up. We're fine. You're overreacting. You're falling for it. Twitter's not going anywhere.
But the people who never overreact were reacting. That's what caught me.
Our guy Connor Ryan at Boston Sports Journal. And I saw that one. I was like, if Connor Ryan is on here, shout out Connor Ryan, saying that he is going to have to get off. He seems like the most even-keeled guy on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
He was worried about it. So
anyway, Matt Chatham. Patriots unexpectedly beat the Bills 14-10 last year in a wild windstorm. So with the big snow dump coming this weekend to Buffalo, 'twas no way in hell the NFL was going to let a pretty offense face suboptimal conditions again. Indoor Detroit swoops in to save the day this league. Yes.
Yeah. Again, they are framing it as an abundance of caution for fans. But if the fans want to go, the fans want to go. Leave it up to them and play the game. It's football, like you said. It would have been fun. 3 to 6 feet of snow, and they're moving it to Detroit. So yeah, no bueno. I mean, there's been games out there, though, where, I mean, remember the Calvin Johnson game where he had the whole thing of snow in his helmet? Yeah. And, like, they play it in those conditions. I don't know why they decided to do it now, but it's awful. It's too bad. The Bills get two games in Detroit over the next 4 days as well because they're playing this Sunday there now, and then they play there on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll – so we were talking about this today. I wonder if they'll stay out there and practice out there or if they'll – they'll like go back and forth, but
yeah,
and that probably depends on the weather and how well they can travel.
Right. That's a good point. So yeah, that's too bad. 'Cause football is turning into not football anymore. Twitter's turning into not Twitter anymore. It's just this world is a mess. It's too bad. But, I guess I usually cap this show off by telling you to follow myself on Twitter at Mike Cadlick and Alex on Twitter. You can still do it, but I believe our Instagram handles are the same. So God forbid, Twitter goes down. You can catch all our content there as well. I don't think 985thesportshub.com or clnsmedia.com are going to go down like Twitter, so you can read our stuff on there. Again, the Patriots are taking on the Jets. Big division matchup on Sunday at 1 p.m. Me and Alex will be back on Sunday night to recap that game. We'll be back the following Tuesday as well to do another recap. So read Alex's stuff, follow him everywhere, do the same for me, and we'll be back on Tuesday.